Isaiah 48, verse 16. Isaiah 48, turn there. Yeah, Joel, he likes to tell everybody, now this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. Well, Joel, it says you're a rotten, hell-deserving, low-life sinner. Amen. There's no good thing in him, but God can save him by his grace. Gary did what I told him to do. We got some visitor folk here this morning. By the way, if you're here and you're wondering, if you look right up in that window up there, that is the top secret broadcasting bunker right up there, Mike. See that green wall up there? That's it. But anyway, we always like to give away DVDs to anybody, and Gary's going to, if you'll just get with him right after service, just walk that way and just start grabbing and snatching anything you want. All right, it's free of charge, and we appreciate that. All right, Isaiah chapter 48. Are you there? Say amen. I like to study things out of the Bible and just kind of study themes and concepts, and this one rolled my way this weekend. And it was part of a discussion I was looking at, and it's just kind of, you know, hey, I like it. Every time I see a word in the Bible and I want to find out what it means, well, then I look in the Bible. And I think you ought to do it. And the Bible is a good dictionary for you, and it'll help you. But I was just kind of looking at this thing. This is God talking to you. Now, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe God said these words, don't you? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says about the Bible. So I believe it's the Word of God. Come ye, verse 16, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. God said, I've not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God in His Spirit has sent me. Aren't you glad that God's not keeping secrets away from everybody? Somebody say amen. Aren't you glad that God, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, has created the entire universe, and set His law upon the earth, and then knowing that man could not keep that law, provided a way whereby man could be redeemed and saved from the curse of the law, which is going to hell. So do you believe that? Say amen. God in His wisdom has made a way. And when He made that way, He didn't hide it away from everybody. He didn't keep it secret. He said, I have not spoken in secret. That is in contradiction to practically most other religions in the world that have an idea that God only gives His revelations to the special crowd, but they can't tell everybody else. I don't like that. I don't believe in that. I believe if you've got this Bible right here, you have the Word of God in your hand. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I like that, young man. Raise that Bible up there, young man. Amen. I appreciate that. But anyway, he said, I've not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And by the way, stop and think about your life now for a minute. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, who was there? God. When you were born, who was there? God. As you grew up in childhood, who was there? God. When you had your best day, who was there? God. When you had your worst day, who was there? God. He has always been there. And He knows you. He knows every aspect and every part of your life. He's very good to us. And now look at verse 17. I want you to look at this. I want you to see just how much God loves you and cares about you. Verse 17. For thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. I want you to underline that passage in your Bible. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I want you to think this morning as we move along the message, I want you to pray for me this morning. My mind is at the hospital this morning, all right? I want you to pray for me. But I want you to just think about this morning. This message probably be two parts. Think in your life of what is profitable to you, and think in your life of things that are not helping you at all, that are in your life right now. Things that are unprofitable to you. Things that are hurting you. Things that you have, things that you do, things that you're a part of. Things that are not bringing any benefit to your life as far as just the blessings of this life here or the blessings of eternal life in heaven. I want you to think of what is profitable and what is unprofitable in your life today. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you, God, Lord, for the mercy that you have on your people. I thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you've had on me and my family. And Lord God, I love you, and Lord, I just want to tell everybody how good you are to your people. And Lord God, I thank you, dear God, for my wife and my children. And I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would just be with us today. Lord God, just be a blessing, God, to my family today. We need it. And Lord, I need your help to preach. God, I don't think, Lord, there's ever a time, Lord, when I come up here that I don't need your help. Lord, I'm like the man that some families came to him middle of the night and said, we need lodging, we need bread. Lord, I don't have any bread. I'm going to knock on my neighbor's door, and that's you, God. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, would you rise and give us bread? Lord, these people are on a long journey through life. Lord, there's a family here this morning that's just kind of moving across the country. And Lord, Father, we're on a greater journey. And they're trying to get our way through life and try to figure out what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's not. And Lord, sometimes we get on that road and we get tired. And our mind and our body gives out. We need rest. But Lord, not only rest, we need food. We need some bread. We need something, Lord, that'll sit in us and hold us for a while. And Lord, these people, Lord, are on that long journey this morning. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would rise and give us bread today. Help us, Lord, be a blessing to us. Feed us and fill us and use us, God, for your kingdom and your glory's sake. And Lord God, if I'm in the way today, then get me out of the way, and then you just preach and you deliver the message to these people. And Lord, I trust you, God, that I don't have to come up here, put on a big show and perform for everybody, make a big scene. God, if I just tell people, Lord, what you said, and Lord, help them and give them understanding, God, give them the sense and the meaning of, Lord, what this book says. God, that you'll bless your word. And asking God for you to do just that today. Lord, there's somebody, God, that's just debating about things in life. They're uncertain. And Lord, there may be somebody, Lord, watching today, or someone sitting here, God, that's just kind of at a place where they're just kind of counting everything up and seeing what's good and what's not. So Lord, let this be a blessing. Let us speak to them, give them encouragement. And Lord, just bless this message, bless our church. Help us to be used for you in your kingdom and your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. As I thought about this message, began to think about it, and I love the way the Bible just presents these ideas to us and these things that we can comprehend pretty clearly. We kind of know what's going on. Some people, I mean, practically all of us, at times in our life, probably live paycheck to paycheck. Y'all know what that's like. Say amen. Okay? They call it making ends meet. Well, when the end of the month, if the end of the month comes at the same time the end of the bills, that's good. You've made ends meet. Sometimes the end of the month comes before the end of the bills are paid. Now you got something wrong. There's something it's not working right. Okay? And I'm not the big financial expert in my family. I'll be honest with you. My wife has taken care of our finances over the years, and she's done a lot better job than I have. If you ever accuse me of being a money grubber and wanting money, I'll call you a liar to your face. I don't want money. I want McDonald's, okay? Or I want Chinese food, okay? Or I want something else, okay? Money does not impress me. It's what I can put in my mouth. That's what impresses me. That's just me. And so for a long time, I didn't carry any money around. I mean, I just did not carry any money around. If I needed gas, honey, I got to get some gas, and we get some gas, and that's it. But here's what I learned. I learned a long time ago that my wife could hold money in her pocket for a long, 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 long time. We'll be standing somewhere, we get ready to buy something, and I think, well, she's going to put that on the credit card, and lo, she'll open that thing up, and air will escape. And she'll pull out bills and stuff like that and hand that over, and I'm going, how long you had that in there? She said, don't ask. She didn't steal it. She didn't get it by ill-gotten gain. She saved it. She kept it in there and she held it. I can't do that. You put money in my wallet, breakfast burritos, baby. Okay? I mean, I'm being honest with you, okay? That's kind of how I am. So I just don't carry a lot of money around. Is there money in here, by the way? Never mind, anyway. That's all right. I'm going on vacation, all right? But anyway, every now and then, whether it's the end of the month, middle of the month, beginning of this month, or whatever, somebody in the family has got to sit down, look at the checkbook, pull the bills down out of the cabinet, and sit down and ask one question. Do we have the money to pay these bills? Because they're not going to stop coming. They're going to keep rolling in. They're going to keep asking. As long as you're using the air conditioner, somebody's going to ask for the money. As long as you keep driving the car, the car is going to need money. Everything in this life needs money. And what we've learned over the years of our life is that we sit down, we grow up from being kids, because all the time we were kids, we thought mom and dad went out in the backyard and pulled money out of the tree and just gave it to us. We didn't know the reality of life and how it really is that we grow up, and we learn that we have an obligation, or Taco Bell, or Walmart grocery store, or wherever it is, or Finger Hut, or whatever it is you spend your money on. We got to make sure that we're having a little bit more money than we got to come in. The Bible says, give a portion to seven and also eight, for thou knowest not what evil might come upon there. If you don't know what's coming 10 months down the road, you might be handed a bill that you didn't save up for that you can't pay. And I'm not trying to beat everybody on the head about how they're running their finances. That's really none of my business. But the point I'm trying to make is we all look at the idea of whether we understand profit versus loss, don't we? If you've ever run a business, there is no business in the world that I can think of except the federal government that says we can spend more money than what we make and it's okay. Fact is, if you run any, I don't care if it's a side business. I don't care if you work for the company 8 hours a day and you go home and do a side business. You know why you're doing that side business? Money. Profit. Things that will profit. Why? Because you know that the 8 hours you're working down at the shop or down at the factory is not going to buy you a new boat. So you know what you do? You go out and you work. You do some kind of thing on the side. Do some kind of labor on the side or whatever it is. I don't know what it is you do. You go sell something or whatever it is. And you try to make a living. You're trying to make a profit so you can have something in life. We understand the idea of profit versus loss, or being something being profitable versus being unprofitable. Does everybody follow where I'm going so far? Look at that verse again, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit. If you will let God instruct you and train you, by the way, I'm not going to preach this in two ways, but I am going to mention this. Again, your finances are not my business. It is not my business to tell you how to run your life and how you ought to do this and how to. I've known some preachers who felt like they had the Lord over everybody and tell them every dime to spend. That's not my job. I'm not your daddy. I'm not your mama either. You do whatever you feel like doing. That's nothing to me. But I will tell you this. If you are interested, God will teach you how to manage your household. How many of you believe that? Say amen. God will teach you how to manage your household. God will teach you. In fact, I preached a message here several months ago. In fact, when the economy went bad, when it first went bad, I preached a message on home finances. You can get principles right out of the Bible. You know what the number one, the best principle to have in your home finances? Number one, stop coveting everything.
Amen.
Stop coveting everything. The violation and the breaking of the 10th commandment is what throws most, practically all families into financial ruin. Is because they see, they want, they can't afford, they borrow. Or, I've known people that didn't borrow, they stole. I knew a lady, every place she went to work for, she got to be the treasurer. Sitting writing herself checks out of the company into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. They finally threw her in prison over it. You know why? Lust of the eyes. Covetousness. I want, or my boy wants, or my daughter wants, or my children want, or my grandchildren want, whoever it is. That's the number one thing. Stop coveting after everything. So, and by the way, if you're running a business, running some kind of deal, I don't care if you sell cars, I don't care if you do this, I don't care if you work on houses, whatever it is, If you run a business, God in this book will teach you how to make a profit. Because nobody can handle a loss for very long. You'll be bankrupt, you'll be belly up, you won't be able to pay your bills, you're going to lose everything. And I'm not preaching wealth and health and all that stuff, but I'm telling you that if you will take what God tells you in this book, He said, I teach you how to profit. Amen. God will give you a good business if you listen to Him. Can I hear you say amen? All kinds of things in there, and I'm not going to preach that this morning. But let's deal with the idea of something that is beyond whether or not we have a nice house to live in, nice car to drive around, nice clothes to wear, whether we can go to the buffet 3 times a week or we can't go at all or whatever. There's something greater than those things. There's something greater than just the piling up of monetary gain or possessions in this world that the Bible says one of these days is going to be burned up in a fervent heat. Do you believe that? They're going to be done away with. When you draw your last breath, there's not a big paycheck waiting for you on the other side of that deal. You're not taking anything that you've gotten in this world with you into the next life. Understand that. What's going to happen? Probably nowadays, what's going to happen is that when you die, your kids are going to fight each other in court over your junk. That's normally how it works. But what about, what's the profiting you're talking about, Brother Mike? What's going on here? Take the Bible, turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. I'm just giving you real simple stuff here. It's not anything you don't know. But I will admit, as many times I've gone through the Bible and read it, studied it, that's the first time I ever saw the phrase, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. First time I really ever paid attention to that verse. But it's in there. God is going to teach you how to benefit, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Let's put it like this, okay? Let's make this real simple. Up here is heaven. That's profit. Amen? That's profit. Down here is hell. That's unprofitable. That's a loss. You'll lose your soul for eternity. And so in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus is teaching us this very, very valuable, profitable lesson. This is one of the ways He's going to teach you how to profit in life. He said, when He had called people unto Him, with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Did you know that right there, God is teaching you how to profit? Now listen to this now. Let's apply this in business. If you're trying to get to a certain point financially in your life, you know what you're going to have to do? Mark, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to sacrifice all the stuff that you want now so that you can save the money up so that one day you can retire and then have it. Does that sound right? Does that sound right to everybody? You know what we do? We get a little money in, spend it. Get a little more in, spend it. 20 years down the road, what have we got? Got a bunch of stuff rusting out in the backyard because that's the stuff that we bought 20 years ago and wasted our money on it. And I want you to think of eternal life, and I want you to think of your spiritual life. I want you to think of your family life. I want you to think of your relationship to your church. I want you to think of your relationship to your Bible. I want you to think about the things that actually matter in life, your marriage, raising your children and having grandchildren. Think about the things that actually matter in life. And he said, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself. I can tell you that a life spent in service to your wife and to your family and to your church is a life not wasted. Somebody say amen. It is a life not wasted. It is a life well spent. When you get to see the blessings of a long marriage, when you get to see the blessings of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren calling you blessed, looking at you in favor instead of disdain, there's nothing wrong with being a servant for your family and for your children and your church. Somebody say amen. Nothing wrong with that. So you deny yourself. You say, you know what? I'll get something in heaven one of these days. I can do without here in this world. That goes against most of how we think. He said in verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now let's get a question this morning. I don't need to hear your answer. Have you ever prayed, God, I would like to die in your cause? I would like to die like Stephen did, preaching, teaching, witnessing, living for you. I would like to die doing something for you and lose my life that way. Just ask you if you've ever prayed that prayer before. I don't want to know, but you ought to think about it. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. By the way, that's profit. That's profit. Let me put it to you like this. Mark, I'm going to pick you because I know you run a business, okay? And I don't know anything about your business. I don't know what it is, but let's say that Mark's running a business and he's got an employee that's a worthless piece of dirt, won't work, won't do anything, bums around, shows up late, leaves early, steals tools, steals money. Mark's going, how did you know? I don't know, okay? Steals all this stuff. You know what you have on your hands? An unprofitable worker. For somebody, you ought to care about who you're working for and their company and their business. If they're being blessed, you will be too. And I'll tell you something, boy, should I make you mad at me and go on vacation? I'll move on. I might make you mad over something else. I'm going to save it up, all right? But what Mark's got, and I don't know this to be true, I'm just making this up, is an unprofitable employee. You know what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to lose that guy. If he'll lose that guy, he'll save his company. You see how that works? And so the issue is, looking back at what he said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Let's say that Mark is the unprofitable employee. Let's say that, Mark, that you're showing up for work late, don't care if the work gets done, spending all the money, this and that and the other. You know what you deserve? You deserve to go bankrupt and let somebody else buy you out. That's what you deserve. Okay? Whosoever shall lose, if he shall save his life, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now look at verse 36. For watch this now. This is you right here. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Bill Gates and the guy that owns Facebook and all these other multi-billionaires in this world, they're lost. They're not saved. They're lost. Oh, Pastor, I'm saying I need to say that. They're not saved. They don't go to church anywhere. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. You know what they do? They go out and do works to make it look like they're good people. They throw money around like them, but they're not losing anything. Some of these guys are worth $60, $70 billion. And for them to lose $5 billion in a stock market scheme is nothing to them. Absolutely nothing. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Men, listen to me. Men, by their very nature, are designed to go out and earn stuff. It's in our nature. God put it to us in the Garden of Eden. It's in our nature to go out and to sweat and to work and to build and to bring things in. That's who we are. That's how God designed us. If we're not careful, we're going to put that as the first thing in our life. And we're going to lie to ourselves like fathers before us did, lie to ourselves in thinking that as long as we're at work earning a living, that's all our family needs from us. I'm telling you, it's not.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
You fell for a lie. That little boy and that little girl sitting at home, they want to see daddy working. They're proud of daddy. When daddy comes home, they want to see daddy. And what's happened with a lot of guys with money, they say, well, you know, I got to work extra hours, got to work late hours, got to do this, got to do that. And they turn around and buy their kids junk, thinking that's a replacement for daddy, and I'm telling you it's not. So men, listen to me. Those kids, you'll never get back. You'll never get them back. Spend some time with them. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? So let's say that, well, you know, in order to get ahead, I got to start working weekends. I got to start working on Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. You wanted God to teach you how to profit? And if you go running out, you run out on the Lord's Day, and you don't show up for church, you don't come here to preaching in God's Word, you don't come get the fellowship of God's people, and you run out on that stuff, I'm going to tell you something, you're not profiting anything. You're going to get here, you're going to have new basketball, you're going to have new camper, you're going to have new this and new that, and run all over the place and have money. But you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your soul.
Yep.
That's unprofitable for you. You gain everything in the world, lose your own soul. The things that you're gaining in this world today are going to be gone 20, 30 years from now. They'll be gone. And you won't have them. What will you have when you're standing before an almighty God? What will you have? If you don't have eternal life, everything that you've done in life is unprofitable. That's the word. Unprofitable. Verse 37, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you going to sell out for? What is your soul worth to you? Why would you sell out the spiritual things that can be done in your life and in your family? Why would you sell them out for money? Why would you sell them out for family stuff? Why would you sell them out for vacation? Why would you sell them out just to go fit? Well, you know, I got to spend time with my family. We got to go fishing every Sunday. Sunday's the only day in the whole world that's fish bite. What shall it profit a man? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of being in my words. Look here.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? There's never an unprofit in this book. Never. God always gives profiting in this book. If you'll read it, God will profit you. Do you understand that this morning? Whosoever there should be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You go stand before God, he's not going to ask you how your 401k did. You go stand before God, he's not going to ask you how many vacation homes you had. When you go stand before God, he's not going to ask you, can you smell the new car, smell in your car. He's not going to ask you that stuff. He's not going to ask you how many hours you work. He's not going to ask you the things in this life. He's going to demand of you whether or not you gave your life and sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ and his cause and his kingdom. That's what he's going to find out from you. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 12, listen to this. God said, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. You say, well, Pastor, you have to preach about how we ought to do this, how we ought to do that, how we ought to live, right? Let's be honest and let's look at it the way God looks at it. God looks at it and says, if you do five things right and you do one thing wrong, how many things do you have right? Because one thing wrong costs more than five things right. See, if I want you to, I was going to draw it up here. You like how I draw stuff, don't you? And that's why you're, amen. I was going to put a little ledger up here. And on the far side is all the loss, and on this side is all the profit. And you say, well, I'm profiting. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And yet when you do one thing wrong, that wipes out all the profit. That messes the whole thing up. It's like the companies that put on there 4,124 days without a man hurt on the job. The moment they have to take that down, normally that man getting hurt on the job is going to cost him as much as the 4,000 some odd days profits. That's normally how it works in this country. And the Bible's telling you, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. And I'm here to tell you, if you think that you're here because of your own backbone, your own sweat, your own labor, your own work, well, I did this, and I'm going to keep doing it, you've got it wrong, my friend. You're not profiting by what you're doing. The only profit that comes in your life is a result of what was given to you at the cross of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. You're not profiting. He said, God said, I'm going to declare your righteousness. righteousness, and your works. And I'm going to tell you that you're not helping yourself by doing it all on your own. You cannot. I've got a strong back. I can do this. I was with a friend, a young man that I grew up with, when his mother died. That's all he had left. His dad died when we were little. His mother passed away. My mom went to him and just in love and in care and admiration and said, "Son, I'm praying for you. Give your life to the Lord. God will help you through this." His Jezebel wife come in, scooted her out of the way, said, "He's got two strong shoulders. He'll do this on his own." That's unprofitable. It won't work. The only righteousness that you're allowed to have as far as God's concerned is the righteousness of Christ that is imputed on you because you trust Him. That's profitable. Okay, get amen out of God's people. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 1. In fact, take your Bible, turn there. I'm probably not going to get through all the scriptures I was going to get to, but that's all right. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 1. In common man's terms, it looks kind of looks a little weird, okay? But it says in Jeremiah chapter 13, it's actually, I mean, the Bible calls it a linen girdle. What we're dealing with is a pair of underwear. Jeremiah chapter 13, 1, we're dealing with a pair of undergarments, all right? Now I want you to look at this. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 13, verse 1, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in the hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Now, just you can apply this to just about anything. Maybe it's a nice shirt. I like to put on a real, I like the feel of a nice shirt. Somebody say amen. Sometimes the feel of a nice shirt is just a good cotton t-shirt, okay? Feels good on us, all right? Good, nice pair of jeans, a nice pair of pants or something like that, or anything that we wear. And we're gonna. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand this stuff about putting holes in your jeans everywhere. I mean, I just don't get it. My mom always taught me when they got that far, son, it's time to get a new pair of jeans. Okay? And to me, a new pair of jeans was the ones you found at the yard sale last week. Okay? Or they was on sale or clearance or whatever. But I want you to think about now, what would happen to a piece of cloth that you wear, like a shirt or a girdle, underwear, or whatever. You put them out by the river, Sterling, under a rock, and go back about 6 months later. What's going to happen to that cloth? It's going to be disgusting, and it's going to be rotted to pieces. So watch this now. So verse 5, so I went and hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. It came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I'd hid it. Behold, the girdle was marred. And it was profitable for what? Nothing. Now I'm going to tell you what this garment represents. In fact, God fills you in on it. But it represents our usefulness to, number one, to the Lord God. Number two, represents our usefulness to one another. Our usefulness, hey listen, our usefulness to our spouse. Our usefulness to our children. You want to be a deadbeat? That's your business. You want to be a bum? Knock yourself out. You want to go out and run around chasing women, drinking, coming in late at night? I told you about a guy I used to work with, did that. That's what you want to be? Fine. You want to sit around and play video games all day? Whatever. Don't sit and wonder why your wife handed you divorce papers and took 75% of your stuff. You're unprofitable as a husband. Now I'm preaching to men. So be like men and take it. Ladies, You want to sit around, watch soap operas all day long, don't do anything, don't clean the house, don't feed the children, don't do anything, sit around, let your house pile up, let your laundry pile up, let junk pile up in your house. That's how you want to be? Fine. Your husband is looking for somebody else right now. You're unprofitable to him as a wife. He's not trying to make you a slave. He's not trying to turn you into some whipped thing that will do whatever he wants to. All he's asking is to come home to a semi-clean house. Are you mad at me yet? I'm going on vacation now. Children, your mom and daddy feed you. They buy you clothes. They put stuff on you. They buy you games and gizmos and cell phones and buy you a data plan and buy you all that stuff. Ask you one time to go clean your room and you throw a fit and a spell and get mad and kick stuff and throw you and roll your eyes at your mom and dad. You're an unprofitable child is what you are. They'll take a belt to you and whip you and try to whip that out of you. And back in the Old Testament, if they couldn't whip it out of you, they just took you out to the elders and said, can't do anything with him, he's unprofitable. And they'd take you outside the city and stone you. Well, what the hell? I think that's me. I called the child abuse hotline on them. You know what? Go ahead. You call that hotline, and they're going to put you in somebody's house, and you're going to hate them for the rest of your life. Just tell them what life is really all about. You know what it is? Good for nothing. Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 5 in the parable of the salt. He said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, where is it going to be salted? It has been good for nothing and to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. And I often ask myself the question, what are the churches in our community good for? To most lost people, the churches in this town are good for nothing. This is why we are being trodden under the foot of men right now in this country. This is why most people in this country would not give you a dime for a box of church people. They said they're not even worth a dime. They're good for nothing. They serve no benefit to this community whatsoever. And most of them preachers, all they want is money out of everybody anyway. This is the reputation that we've built for ourselves. And we've shot ourselves in the foot, Jared. This is what we've done. Unprofitable churches. Unprofitable husbands. Unprofitable wives. Unprofitable. Hey, children, I want to get to your mom and dad here in a minute. God gave you the greatest gift that He could give any human being aside from salvation, moms and dads, and that is children. You'll know this when you lose one, how precious they are. So that's why I'm praying. My mind is up at a hospital right now. I'm praying for another grandbaby. God taught me a long time ago. God actually taught me this through my dad, and my dad never said a word. I went to a father-son banquet with my dad one time at his church. Brother Bob Tebow was asking, does anybody want to share something they learned from their dad? My dad spoke up. My dad has never done that. Jared, he spoke up and he said, my dad taught me, son, you treat your family, your wife and kids, like you treat your best friends. If you go somewhere, they go with you. If you do something, they do it with you. And I sat there, tears running down my eyes, my mouth dropped open, when I realized that my dad had actually taught me that without ever saying a word about it. Never said a word, but that's what he did. And God has taught me, and He is still teaching me, Mike, you're not going to get these kids back ever again. The day that you didn't do anything with them is a day lost. It's unprofitable. You'll never get it back. Spend time with your children, moms and dads. Quality time. Spend time with your wife. Spend time with your husband. Give, 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 give. You'll never regret it. Because they'll be the ones who are standing around your bedside praying and weeping over you. When you're drawing in your last breath, Brady, they'll be the ones that are there. That's how I want it for me. Can I get amen out of God's people? But what we end up being is a loincloth that is absolutely good for nothing. So here's what God said. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, watch this now, number one, which refuse to hear my words. You know how to profit? You know how to keep... It sounds. You know how to keep from getting holes in your underwear? You know how to keep being profitable and good for something? Hear the words of God. They, number one, they refuse to hear my words. Number two, they walk in the imagination of their own heart. You know what that is? You boasting and puffing yourself up as you're some, boy, you're some real good. I should be getting Father of the Year award any day now. You know what you do? You just walk in the imagination of your own heart. Or, well, I don't need that church. I don't like how that preacher preached to me anyway, and I don't like that. I'm a good guy, and I think I'll get to heaven on my own way. You know what that is? That's the imagination of your own heart. And you know what that's worth? Nothing. It's unprofitable. It won't work. It's good for nothing. And walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. And he says in verse 11, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah. God said that. God said that his blessing was to have close to him the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah. That's all the church people. That's what that represents to us sitting here today. That's all you guys sitting here today. God wants you to cleave to him. He wants you to be close to him. He wants you to be drawn to him. To be there to be a benefit and a blessing to him. But he says here, he says, the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for glory, but they would not hear. So you know what he's going to do? What? Just ask yourself the question. Every now and then, Jared, we got to go through our drawers, right? We pull out the drawers and we know we got them in there. We pull them out. There's socks in there with holes in them. You know what you ought to do? Throw them away. They're good for socks with holes in them are good for nothing. Amen? Underwear with holes in them are good for nothing. So what do you do? I got to get more socks, got to get more underwear, but your drawer is only this big. What are you going to do? Get rid of the stuff that's good for nothing. And to simplify all of this, God looks at Bethel Church, and he's constantly asking the question, what is profitable here? Are we doing something that is a benefit to the kingdom of God, to God's glory? Are we doing something that is a benefit to the people around us? Are we doing something that is a benefit to people watching us on the internet? Are we benefiting the kingdom of God and his glory and his honor and his righteousness in the things that we're doing? Because if we're not, then we become as a cloth that has been marred and it's got holes in it and it's corrupt and it's cast away because it's good for nothing. God forbid that I ever become a pastor that's good for nothing. I may not be good for everything. I may not do what other pastors can do. But out of my heart's desire, because of what God has set me free from and the blessings that he has given me, I have one desire in my heart. And that is to be good for something to this church. I mean, you guys are paying my bills. You guys are paying my salary. You guys are paying my insurance. If I sat around in here all day long, my feet propped up on the desk, playing video games, playing online poker. Hey, that's a good hand there. I don't even know how to do it. I've never done it before. I don't know what it is. I played a little poker before a long time ago. But if I sat around and did that all day long and then downloaded my sermon from Rick Warren, can I tell you something? I know the dirty little secret about half the preachers in this town. They do exactly that. They sit and they draw a salary from the church. God knows what they're doing on the computer. They download two sermons a week from the internet, pay them like $40 a month, and get up there and look cool while they say the words that are on that paper. That's what they do. Let me tell you what God did for me, and Sterling knows this. When I first got married to Lisa, Sterling said something to me that put me down about this low, and it needed to. He said, "You could never be my pastor, not right now." And God used that man to tell me that. Because you know why? When I first got married, I was practically good for nothing. I didn't want to work. What I wanted to do was get a nice, cushy church job and put my feet up on a desk and play video games all day long. That was me. God made me go out and work with my hands to learn how to feed children, to learn how to pay bills for the children, to fix it so that my family had things to wear, had things to eat, had a house to live in. God made me learn how to do that. And He would not let me touch a church until He knew He had brought me to such a place where I was finally good for something with my family. And this man saw it all along. He saw me then wake up one day and start progressing at work. Pretty soon there was things that I could do that A, either no one else could do, or B, no one else wanted to do. That's where I became profitable. Okay? Because while Sterling, bless his heart, couldn't swirl an 8-foot ceiling standing from the floor, he had to get stilts on. I'd just walk around like this all day long. Change hands. And do that all day long, didn't I? You know what God was teaching me? Might grow up and be good for something. And God would not let me have a church of my own until I learned that. The bottom of my heart is, I want to be good for something to this church. From the bottom of my heart, that sweetie pie that usually sits there, I'm missing her today, I'm about ready to cry. I want to be good for something to her. I don't want my wife to work. I don't want my wife to have to worry about paying the bills. I don't want my wife to have to go out and be under somebody else's bondage at a job site. She's my wife. That's what I want. Maybe that doesn't work for everybody, but that's what I want. And I want that for her. I want her to have enough money to be able to pay the bills and to have a little bit left over so we can go on vacation. I guarantee you she saved all this money for vacation. She did. She's been carrying a purse now for a couple years probably. But I want to do that for her. I wanted to do that for my girls. God opened my eyes for my girls. Okay? I want to do it for my boys. I want to do it for this church or whoever it is. But I just decided one day that I think I want to be good for something instead of good for nothing. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Think about, and I may preach some more of this sometime, I don't know, just see what happens when I get back. But maybe you should just stop for a minute and just sit down with your life like you would your finances. Sit down, every now and then you got to sit down and figure out what's in the bank. That's what happens when you grow up. When you're little kids, you don't care. But when you grow up, you sit down and figure out what you got in the bank. And if you ain't got enough in the bank, then don't go out and buy something stupid. See how simple that is? Now you sit down with life, figure out where you're at, and what you got, and who you are. And at some point, you have to become profitable to the people around you. You have to be a benefit of some kind. It doesn't take a whole lot. And God gives everybody talents and gifts that they can use. Do you believe that? Say amen. Everybody. You know how the American government is ruining this country? It's telling people that they can't do anything, they're no good, we're going to pay all your bills for you. Now, I'm not against legitimate cases where people can't make it on their own. I'm not against that. But it is ruining the spirit of a country. When, and this is the truth, one out of every five families in this country is eating food that the government bought for them. One out of every five. Somebody's got to pay the bills on that. But here's what I'm getting at for your spiritual walk in your life. Ask yourself, what am I good for? What am I good for? God has put it in our heart to desire to profit and to be profitable. You examine your life today. Would you bow your head, please? I'm going to give you a little welcome to it. If you want to sit there, that's fine. But take stock of your life right now and ask yourself, what am I good for? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make you feel bad so you go out and eat worms. I'm not trying to do that. But every now and then, reality's got to set in. What am I good for to God? What am I good for to my church? What am I good for to my family? What am I good for? I promise you, I want you to hear my voice this morning. I promise you, if you'll ask God to help you be good for something, you will be. I promise you that. He'll do for you what you could not do. He'll do for you what you never even thought of. That's what He'll do. I was in a place about 3.5 years ago. I didn't think I was benefiting anybody here. And I just spent 3 days in my office saying, God, I need help. God, help me. So I just want to ask you, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to lay it all on you so you go out and do something stupid. I'm just saying, you just deal with reality. And when you can't figure it out, then you go to God and say, God, I need help. I need help. If I preach something today and it struck home with you, I promise you, I did not think of anybody when I was preaching this message. I promise you I didn't. I wasn't even sure how I was going to preach it. So you just spend some time this morning with God. God, make me good for something. Will you? That's what I want. And if God knows your heart, He'll help you.